Hello out there to all you people on the go and you multitaskers everywhere. This is Homeschool Mom Movie Maven, and this review is on First Man. I've titled this review, First Man, The Wrong Stuff. My short take is that the incredible acting cannot save this tedious and pseudo-reality TV show-style rewriting of history aimed at devaluing American exceptionalism, American accomplishments, and American heroes. Who should go? No sexuality, which is a plus, a handful of mild profanities, and one quite vulgar but understandable cuss word muttered off-screen by someone feeling very ill, and a lot of visually disturbing images, including prolonged scenes of extremely violent shaking and people trapped in a fire in an enclosed space. Were this an accurate, inspiring portrayal of the space race, I'd say it was worth it, but as it is, there's really no point to putting yourself through that, or your children. The long take. I was 10 years old when the first man, an American, walked on the moon. I remember it being late in the day, 9:56 p.m. Central Standard Time, to be precise, where we were, so I had my PJs on. And when Neil Armstrong uttered those now amazing words for the first time, that's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, I saw it on TV. Then everyone in our house, mom, dad, my brother and sister, her fiancé, all ran outside. I was barefoot, so my future brother-in-law swept me up and carried me outside with our group, and we all just stood near Metairie Road, because nearer to our house, the view of the sky was obstructed by trees, and we just looked and waved to Neil Armstrong. And we were not alone. People all over the world cheered and cried and laughed and were simply amazed at the incredible event that America had accomplished, putting the first man, an American man, on the moon. America was the first country, and to date the only country, to make an extraterrestrial manned landing, and was and is the first and only country to have a man step out onto extraterrestrial property, and frankly, is the first and only country in the world, America, or in history, to legitimately lay claim to an extraterrestrial piece of land. It was America, in a fit of historic reengineering, to downplay the obvious American exceptionalism in such a feat. First man pointedly neglected to show the planting of the American flag, a symbol as synonymous with our achievement as the image of the booted human footprint or Lieutenant Armstrong's step off the module. The filmmaker's excuse is that they think Armstrong didn't see himself as an American hero, but that it was an accomplishment of the world. No, it was not. The world didn't pay for it. The world didn't chip in men or time or money or blood or industry or lives in plenty for our American space program. No one but American men died in our test planes and shots and explosions. The UN had nothing to do with it, and I don't really care what the filmmakers think Armstrong's opinion was. This was, factually, entirely, an American adventure against which we were in competition with other countries. And even if I bought into the vacuous world accomplishment POV, which I do not, the fact is the flag was planted, the American flag, was visible in places and photos where the director, Damien Chazelle, deliberately chose, in an act of sheer arrogance, to inauthentically, blatantly, and unilaterally eliminate our American flag from the picture. And yet they claim to be historically accurate, emphasizing its false historicity with the documentary-style footage. This is an affront to every man who died, to every widow who had to raise their children without one of the American men who perished in a test plane or capsule, to every American man, woman, and child who devoted their prayers, tax money, sweat, enthusiasm, and attention to this distinctly American program. Before I went to see First Man, I had heard about this flagrant insult to the memories and sacrifices of our country. I had been concerned I would have to chide what I had been sure would be an otherwise excellent movie about the American space program. I needn't have been concerned. Beyond here, there are spoilers. Now spoilers? There are plenty of other egregious flaws with First Man, even if it weren't for the insult to American history. Insulting the planting of the American flag by ignoring it was just one of the many. To start, however, the acting was excellent. In Claire Foy, the woman who plays Mrs. Neil Armstrong, I think we're seeing the making of a British Meryl Streep, a woman who can so artfully immerse herself in character that you don't recognize her from one performance to the next. She is a true actor, as defined by Alan Swan, a character in My Favorite Year, when that character explains in comic desperation that he is not an actor, he's a movie star. Contrary to that, Claire Foy is an actor. And for more examination and explanation of the point that Alan Swan makes, please see my blog in Operation Finale. Whether the Swedish girl in the spiderweb was the crazed American in Unsane, Queen Elizabeth II in The Crown, or as Janet Armstrong here, Foy nails it. There is a scene at the end of First Man, brilliantly performed, of almost complete silence, visually emphasizing Armstrong's inability to connect with anyone, where Gosling and Foy say more in subtle looks and gestures than most movies do in pages of script. Unfortunately, while Ryan Gosling is excellent too, he expends his talent creating an extremely unpleasant person. Were I Neil Armstrong's descendants, I would be thoroughly perturbed at the portrayal of the famous astronaut in First Man. It is also just poor scriptwriting. We all know the outcome of the story. It took years. There were a number of Gemini shots which made sure we could safely get a man into space, dock with another vehicle, and return him home alive. Then Apollo 1 blew up. Apollo 11 made it to the moon, and there were a number of successful Apollos in between. In order for such a pervasively well-known story to work, you have to care about the characters. And the Neil Armstrong in First Man is not only unlikable, he is unapproachable. Cold, distant, unfeeling, harsh, abrasive even to his best friends, his wife, and his sons. The writer chalks his personality issues down to his inability to overcome the death of his toddler daughter by brain tumor. He flees, in the movie, the funeral of a fellow astronaut to run away home without a word to his wife, ignoring the fact she is in pain as well, and leaving her humiliated, having to beg a ride from a friend. Armstrong, in the movie, shuns his friend's offers of counsel as he stands staring into space in his backyard with the comment, "Do you think I came out here because I wanted to talk? Do you think I left the funeral because I wanted to talk?" This is not the making of an appealing character, and they don't explain it. They just throw it in your face. Armstrong, in the movie, not only refuses to answer his worried wife's inquiries when he returns home bloodied and burned in another incident after an almost fatal crash, but immediately runs away, claiming to have forgotten something at the office. Janet has to bully, berate, and throw things at him to get him to say goodbye to his own children for possibly the last time before he goes to the moon. Armstrong seems immune to the agony of his dead friend's widow, and the flashbacks of his dead daughter, which cripple him into apathy, become redundant in their predictability at crisis moments. I've seen serial killers devoid of empathy portrayed as more emotionally engaged and engaging than poor Ryan Gosling's Neil Armstrong. It is difficult to believe that NASA would put someone so emotionally and psychologically damaged in charge of the one and only first ever in all of human history moon landing after the arduous clearances physically, emotionally, ability-wise that they put these astronauts to. I am very hard-pressed to believe they would have let him go up. The retro historians were out to trash an established American hero. Basically, they portray Neil Armstrong as a body part reserved for proctologists, and even if this were true, the story of First Man was who was landed on the moon by America was not the place to put it. If you want a tell-all soap opera biopic of Neil Armstrong, then by all means, go ahead, but don't pretend this tortured portrait of an American hero is a reflection of the American spirit or play fast and loose with history while claiming to be accurate in a movie about this incredibly historic event, the landing on the moon. Don't make a psychologically crippled version of Neil Armstrong the center of a movie about the space race. Either show Armstrong's whole life, warts and all, or put the uplifting endeavor that was and is the American space program in the correct light. The only reason to have it both ways and put it all in a negative light is because you wish to undermine and treat with dismissiveness the American moonwalk in particular, and America in general. Nowhere in the entire movie is the joie de vivre, the enthusiasm, the sheer joy of exploration and discovery that was and is the American space program. Not even in the more realistically portrayed Gus Grissom, who is played, well, by Jason Clarke, or Buzz Aldrin, played by Corey Stoll. Where is the camaraderie from The Right Stuff, a much better movie? Where is From The Right Stuff as Ed Harris's John Glenn, who exemplified that genial excitement? Or, again, in the movie The Right Stuff, Dennis Quaid's cocky and arrogant but infectiously confident Gordon Cooper in the movie about the lead-up to the moonshot? Now, granted, The Right Stuff was about the first men in space, not the moonshot, but these are the same kind of men from whom they picked and who Armstrong was following. Harris and Quaid's Glenn and Cooper from The Right Stuff, respectively, personified why charting the unknown was worth the trials and terrors and tears that it cost us. By contrast, First Man makes it look like the space program was the unwanted chore of a beleaguered group of government bureaucrats with which we foolishly burdened the American taxpayer. Chazelle even rudely shoehorned in this song, Whitey on the Moon, which was an anthem against the space program, playing it along with scenes of racially inspired protest marches, which did not belong in this movie. The filmmakers tried to make it appear as though this bitter song was a reflection of the popular sentiment during the years leading up to the moonshot. This song, Whitey on the Moon, with all its resentment and anger, was neither a representation of the mood of the country concerning the space program, nor even published until after the first landing on the moon took place, so it is anachronistic. Its anachronistic insertion was amateurishly spliced, why would you put it, spliced, shoehorned in, as though from an entirely different movie and had no bearing in the outcome of the story. I was there. The obvious intent of First Man was to make it appear as though the American public was against the American program, when, in fact, the approval for the space program was enthusiastically positive among all the isms you can imagine. There was no racial divide over this. There was no gender divide. There was no political divide. Because it was a uniquely American program of which every American could be proud. In the end, the entire world was rooting for America and these three Americans to get to the moon, land, and return alive, which America accomplished first. Instead of the exciting, energizing program that created jobs, inspired innovations, and injected new levels of patriotism across our country, First Man tried to portray the space program as a draining, painful horror movie the audience had to sit through interminably long, difficult-to-endure, near-real-time length scenes in the capsule, including the deafening roar from inside the relatively permanent Gemini 1, and the monster-like screaming of the exploding rocket fuel and the distressed metal as it strains to not come apart in Apollo 11. Now, if you're trying to create a you-are-there feel, that's fine. But make it positive. Instead, they made it as though the astronauts were enduring a horror movie. The director's choice of near-home movie found footage semi-documentary style makes the movie feel even more harsh and barren, especially as we walk often through dated, sparsely adorned versions of the military housing where these men and their families lived. And slow! Oh my goodness, it was as though Stanley Kubrick became enamored of the Blair Witch Project and insisted on the acting techniques of HAL from 2001 to make a sequel to The Right Stuff. Now, as I said before, the acting was excellent, but I couch that by saying excellent given the material they were told to use. First Man is yet another obvious attempt by the intelligentsia to target and try to downplay, trivialize, and sully the achievements that highlight America's genuine and unique exceptionalism. They emphasize the space program's problems and failures without celebrating their successes, why we went there, and the astonishing one-of-a-kind accomplishments America made. And guess what? When last we looked, our flag, the American flag, was still there. Poland should be rightly proud of Madame Curie's discoveries. The world should be grateful to France for producing Louis Pasteur. The world admires and loves Mother Teresa, a native of Skopje, now Macedonia. Humanity is better for the beautiful music of Russia's Tchaikovsky. Japan's Kurosawa movies are considered classics, and all these countries love their native sons and daughters and take every opportunity to extol them to the world. What is wrong with some Americans? The country of their birth, which has given them and the world so many blessings through the grace of God, is unappreciated by many whose thriving is owed to the freedoms for ingenuity and success that America affords. Other countries seem to appreciate and respect our flag more than do some of her native peoples, and it is infuriating. If you do not appreciate the many blessings of living in America and being an American, then as another blessing of living in America, you are free to go to some other country for which you have more respect. If you wish to make movies about American history, then I don't expect perfection, or for it to be shown without mistakes, for no human endeavor can be done without them, but I do expect that it would be created with some respect. In short, First Man is the last place you want to go for a good uplifting, pun intended, movie about the space race. Instead, just go watch The Right Stuff again. And remember, if you're listening in your car or on an iPhone, you can get the full original review, including pictures and links, at Home School Mom Movie Maven, that's Maven spelled with an I, M-A-V-I-N, .com. And take it from a homeschool mom. Education doesn't always have to come from a book. Sometimes it can come from recognizing the anti-American agenda of unappreciative, disrespectful, politically driven history revisionists.